about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Did somebody say crank up the volume? No one said crank up the volume. Damn it!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
This is, of course, a picture of former President Ronald Reagan naturally firing a machine gun while riding on the back of a dinosaur. You'll notice a couple of important features here. First of all, the rocket launcher strapped to President Reagan's back. And then the stirring, unmistakable patriotism of the Velociraptor holding up a tattered American flag. A symbol of all it means to be an American.
And now,
it leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
Our feature presentation.
Those are all things that have been said about the Kevin Amin Show, and welcome into another one, this time for a Tuesday, the 2nd of April. Hey, fam.
Hello.
What's up?
That audio in the open about President Reagan riding a dinosaur.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With the machine gun.
Mm-hmm. And the flag.
And the flag,
mm-hmm.
that was on the Senate floor. That was part of a speech from a Republican from Utah named Mike Lee.
What?
I thought it was like from Detroiters or something.
Yeah.
I can't believe that's from real life.
No, that happened.
What?
He brought props. He was talking about the new Green Deal.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Let me see. I think I have another one too. He was talking about that, and he was talking about how dumb it was, and how
it like depends on elephant farts or whatever. Like the
yeah.
weird Republican spin on it is.
Yes, it was one of those.
Yeah.
Hold on. Give me 1 second here, because I'd love to find it.
I assumed it was like I was like, oh, another Parks and Rec clip that I don't
Something.
Know about.
Yeah.
Oh, it was totally real.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
I can't find it. I'm sorry.
I mean, we can probably fill in the holes after hearing.
I got too much stuff here.
I mean, Jensen's talking about filling in holes. You're talking about dinosaurs and Reagan. What's happening?
Here's another one.
This is a picture of Aquaman, a superhero from the undersea kingdom of Atlantis. And notably here, a founding member of the Super Friends. I draw your attention, Mr. President, to the 20-foot impressive seahorse he's riding.
Okay.
So
his point was the spin on AOC and the New Green Deal and everything is that they're trying to eliminate all cows in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be allowed to fly anymore. All planes will be grounded.
Right.
So his point was, what about the people in Hawaii? Are they going to have to depend on Aquaman and a seahorse in order to get back and forth to the mainland? And what about the tourists?
Someone has to tell his voice to be sarcastic.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's missing one element of sarcasm, and it just sounds like it's a real, like when you pull the clip, it's like he's just giving a speech.
Right.
Yeah, so you appreciate his material, you just say he needs to work on his delivery.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, it's great, and it's well worth checking out. I don't think he was voting for it, I guess is what I'm saying.
Mm.
That's what it sounded like with it. But I love that he brought props, and I love that he had staff that had to get that stuff made. Like, he had to send one of his congressional aides down to Kinko's and print out an 8-foot photo of President Reagan riding a dinosaur.
Yeah, and he had to go through to check if it's high res enough. There's a bunch of things he had to do.
That's somebody's job right there. And by the way, AOC retweeted that speech and said, lesson learned here is if this guy can be a senator, you can do anything, which I thought was very funny. All right, we got a big program today, and we got a lot to get to, but I want to start with this, because this happened while I was out last week, and I'm especially curious to get your take on it, Allie. It's Leggingsgate that has been ripping the nation apart. At Notre Dame, I guess a mom of a student there on the 25th of March wrote a letter to the newspaper. I've thought about writing this letter for a long time. I waited, hoping that fashions would change and such a letter would be unnecessary, but that doesn't seem to be happening. I'm not trying to insult anyone or infringe upon anyone's rights. I'm just a Catholic mother of 4 sons with a problem that only girls can solve.
Mm-hmm.
Leggings.
Oh, what's the problem?
How do you solve a problem like leggings, right?
Is that your Sound of Music?
Yeah, it's what it was, yeah. The emergence of leggings as pants some years ago baffled me. They're such an unforgiving garment. Last fall, they obtruded painfully on my landscape. Boy, that's a great sentence.
It's not bad.
Last fall, they obtruded painfully on my landscape.
Yeah. Edgar Allan Poe-esque.
I was at a mass at the Basilica with my family. In front of us was a group of young women, all wearing very snug-fitting leggings and all wearing short-waisted tops so that the lower body was uncovered except for the leggings. Some of them truly looked as though the leggings had been painted on them. Mm-hmm. A world in which women continue to be depicted as babes by movies, video games, music videos, etc., makes it hard on Catholic mothers to teach their sons that women are someone's daughters and sisters, that women should be viewed first as people, and all people should be considered with respect. If I could go off script for a minute here, doesn't it sound like all women should be treated, considered with respect, except the part where we allow them to dress how they're comfortable?
Yeah. Keep going.
Okay. I talked to my sons about Princess Leia and how Jabba the Hutt tried to steal her personhood by putting her into a slave girl outfit in which her body became the focus. That's the only scene in the whole franchise in which Leia appears that way, and it's forced upon her.
FYI, this is the second story now where fictitious things are entering into a world of reality, and that's concerning to me, but go on.
I will say, if I wore the slave girl outfit to mass, I'd be inappropriate.
Yes, true. It's hardly fair to compare them to leggings, right?
Right.
I mean, aren't leggings, if you're not wearing pajamas in college, you're wearing leggings.
Absolutely.
That's just the standard outfit for college girls.
They're just sweats that women with really rockin' bodies can pull off.
Yeah. They're comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, lady, I don't want to jump ahead too far here, but we're not responsible for your son or husband having trouble controlling his erection because a woman decides to be comfortable and wear leggings.
That's the point of this whole email, is stop making my sons horny.
Yes.
Is the whole point of the email. And you know what I say to that, lady? F off. Keep going, because now the whole city is turned against her, but keep going, because I hope her sons never have sex again.
Leggings are hardly slave girl outfits, and no one is forcing them on the countless young women who wear them, which, by the way, is my point. No one is forcing them. Right. This isn't like you're taking somebody and saying, we insist you wear this. This is a grown-ass woman who wants to wear something that's appropriate and comfortable in her day.
Yeah, it's not the school uniform.
Right. But I wonder why no one thinks it's strange that the fashion industry has caused women to voluntarily expose their nether regions this day. I wasn't aware that vaginas were involved. Yeah. Were you?
Some leggings are clear in the front, and they just show your whole hoo-ha.
Yeah, oh, I didn't realize that.
She's making it seem like they're wearing the prince pants.
Right.
With like the
cutout butt.
Butt cheeks, right.
Yeah.
I was ashamed for the young women at mass, but why don't you just pray for them and shut up, lady?
Right. Yeah.
I thought of all the other men around and behind us who couldn't help but see their behinds. My sons know better than to ogle a woman's body, certainly when I'm around and hopefully also when I'm not. They didn't stare and they didn't comment afterward, but you couldn't help but see those blackly naked rear ends. Why's it got to be black, right?
Yeah.
I didn't want to see them, but they were unavoidable. How much more difficult is it for young guys to ignore them? All right, here's where she starts to swat down some of the defenses that these hussies have made about wearing leggings. I've heard women say that they like leggings because they're, quote, comfortable, which, by the way, is not a word that needs to be in quotes.
No,
they wear them
no.
because they're comfortable. Yeah. So are pajamas. So is nakedness, which, again, is a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, by the way, nakedness not comfortable out in public.
No.
That's true. And no one is suggesting that people go to mass with no clothes on.
Right.
The human body is a beautiful thing, but we don't go around naked because we respect ourselves and we want to be seen as a person, not a body, like slave girl Leia. She's really hung up on Empire Strikes Back.
My gosh, have you seen any other movies?
We don't go naked because we respect the other people who must see us, whether they would or not. They're not just my sons. They're the fathers and brothers of your friends, the male students in your classes, the men of every variety who visit campus. I'm fretting. Both because of unsavory guys who are looking at you creepily. By the way, lady, you're the one who's looking at them creepily. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
And nice guys who are doing everything to avoid looking at you. For the Catholic mothers who want to find a blanket to lovingly cover your nakedness and protect you, to find scarves to tie over the eyes of their sons to protect them for you. Last paragraph. Leggings are so naked, so form-fitting, so exposing. Could you think of the mothers of sons the next time you go shopping and consider choosing jeans instead? Let Notre Dame girls be the first to turn their backsides on leggings. You have every right to wear them, but you have every right to choose not to. Thanks for listening to the lecture. Catholic moms are good at those. Her name is Marianne White.
Yeah. Stop horning up my son.
Yeah.
Yep. So you can imagine every girl in the school turned out the next day in leggings.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a mass. They may wear nothing else.
Yeah.
But leggings.
I wonder if she put that same energy into emails and letters about, you know, pedophilia, mm-hmm. priests getting into some real bad stitches over mm-hmm. there in Catholicism, or if it's just about women wearing pants that are making her sons and her husband horny.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say here if she's written any other strongly worded letters to the editor, but she certainly had 600 words on the leggings she saw at church. That's
you know,
for sure.
Come to Judaism. We love those pants.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Everyone's welcome.
Yeah, we love it.
Oh, all right. Oh, but can we just say,
sure.
Don't you think her four sons seeing that letter were like, great mom.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm never getting laid now. Because she did a huge disservice to her family.
Yeah, thanks for putting your real name on the letter, Mom. Appreciate that.
Oh, my God.
Reflects well on all of us.
Honestly.
Ladies, wear some leggings today. Do it for yourself. Be comfortable. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Even Stanley likes that.
Oh, Stanley's excited about today's show. We didn't have time for it yesterday, but we will break down Beer Mug on the Air. Folks who are lucky enough to be up late on a Thursday. Is it Thursday night? Yeah, Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Know that Beer Mug does the all-night show. And I don't think we paid enough attention to the gold that he's bringing to K-Rock. So we'll get into that today. Also, animal stories on the program today. If you fell for an April Fool's joke yesterday, Allie, we're going to want to hear from you.
I am embarrassed and mortified, and I never thought it would happen to me.
I'm kind of a half also.
Are you?
Yeah, I may have half fell for something.
Oh, I can't wait. Jensen is going to introduce to a new enemy of the program. Her name is JoJo. We don't want to be too hard on her because she's just a kid.
Yeah, I have a disclaimer, but also maybe a little older than just a kid. But sure.
Oh,
there's
okay.
a disclaimer of let's be half mean.
Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. Two chances for you to win passes for weekend number one of Coachella, including access to the K-Rock Party House on the program today. That is a big deal because that show is sold out. And I saved the best for last. Two of our favorites, they've been coming on the program for 25 years, and they are back today. Dexter Holland and Noodles from The Offspring, ladies and gentlemen, are going to be joining us in studio. Not only are they fantastic musicians and have a great band, one of the all-time best here on K-Rock, they're two of the nicest and most fun guys ever. So we're very excited about that. Offspring stuff in the 8 o'clock hour. All that. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening on this Kevin and Bean show for Tuesday?
Well, I don't know if it was huge news when you were in England, but you might have been back by then. Listen, I'll just tell you what it is. On Saturday, when we found out that the Rolling Stones were postponing their upcoming U.S. and Canada dates, were you back in New Orleans by then?
Here's what happened.
Yeah.
I'm standing at customs waiting for my bag to come, and I said, hey, guys, I said to the TSA guys, I say, I've been, or the customs officials, I said, I've been out of the country for 10 days. What did I miss? And the guy says to me, first thing, he says, well, the Rolling Stones canceled their appearance at Jazz Fest. And I'm like, what? Because they were going to be headlining one night of New Orleans Jazz Fest, which is the legendary festival there. And I said, what happened? And they said it's a medical procedure. That's all they knew at that time. And then, of course, since then, I guess Drudge broke what's really going on.
Yeah, we found out because the Rolling Stones have also said, yep, this is what's happening. Mick Jagger is set to have a stent placed in his heart. Of course, when they made the announcement, they said Mick has been advised by doctors that he cannot go on tour at this time as he needs medical treatment. And people were like, no, what is happening? So now it turns out he's going to have a stent placed in his heart. The procedure will reportedly take place in New York City this week, and he's expected to make a full recovery. And because he's in extraordinary physical condition, they are going to book the rest of the tour, reschedule those dates for July.
That's so
crazy. Unbelievable.
You forget, he's 75 years old.
Yes, he is. I don't know if you've seen the Stones lately. They have not slowed down a bit.
No.
He runs the length of a 100-yard stage back and forth while dancing and singing for 2.5 hours a night at 75 years old. Yeah. It's unbelievable. He's superhuman.
They've made drugs very confusing.
Yes.
Right?
Although Mick has never, he's never been a big drug guy.
Right.
Certainly not like Keith.
No.
But he, I heard they're doing the surgery during a show, is what I heard, which really surprised me.
For the encore.
Yeah. Guys, I am, I know that we're at the point where a lot of our rock and roll heroes we've already lost. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start losing Bowie and people like that, it really starts to hurt. But we, this next few years, man, all these bands that that people my age grew up with, we're going to lose them all. And it's going to
In the next few years? What have you heard?
Well, I'm just saying,
are
all
you
these
going
guys
on
are
a real tear here. What's you going serial on? Killer.
I'm just south so fast.
In the next 8 months, we are going to lose all of them. Don't ask how I know.
He thinks he's doing a service. I think he's giving a threat.
That's what I'm saying.
No, what I'm saying is the classic rock heroes that I grew up with. Your Stones and your Claptons and your Led Zeppelins and your Who and bands like that. And the remaining Beatles. They're all good. I mean, look, they're all going to be in their
80s. But you said they're going to die in 3 years. You said they're all going to be wiped out.
The end is near.
You literally just said in 3 years.
No, I said it like this. He said it like this. He said, he goes, you know, all the guys we love, better watch out.
I'm just saying we're going to wake up to a lot of... I'm pretty sad about the rockers we're going to be losing. That's all.
Right.
And don't you dare take Rolling Stones from me. Don't you dare.
When are you killing Robert Plant?
I don't plan to kill him at all. I want him to live forever. I'm just saying he's not getting any younger.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you get to like a Peter Gabriel? Does he go on the list of people you're going to kill, Bean?
Yes. He even in that upper echelon for you? Or what's the cut?
I'm going to say it is it's below Peter Gabriel, but above Phil Collins. So he'd better look out.
Wow.
Hail Satan.
But the good news is that Mick Jagger is going to be fine, they say.
Okay.
Well, it's up to you, really.
How do we feel about Brian Ferry?
I mean, he's
he'll
okay.
live. He's going to live.
He's fine.
Okay, Bean's not killing Brian Ferry.
He seems to take care of himself, and he looked great at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing the other night.
He's such a babe.
Yeah.
Ugh. I'm going to need a minute. All right, guys, let's talk about some birthdays, because these people are at least alive today.
Uh-huh. No thanks to me.
Oh, no thanks to you. Our buddy from Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Clark Gregg.
Clark, I love him.
He's wonderful. Jesse Plemons, Michael Fassbender, Adam Rodriguez, Christopher Maloney, and for you radio nerds, Bean Jensen, Dr. Demento.
Yeah!
The great.
Legend.
One of the greatest. And that's...
I just heard a shocking update from our producer, David King of Mexico, about the 11th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness happening at Microsoft Theater on April 26th. There are a ton of $30 tickets available for that show.
What?
I feel like that's too cheap, is what I feel. I mean, it would cost you that to see Greg Fitzsimmons and or Eddie Ift. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You throw in your Adam Ray and your Felipe Esparza and Jamie Lee and Ray Romano, plus the Kevin and Bean rap battle. Yeah. Haven't even mentioned that. With Jensen, your friend beatboxer Joshua from Drop the Mic. All of that happening on one night on one stage at the Microsoft Theater. Tickets are on sale for as low as $30.
$30. That's two coffees.
Yeah. That's six street hot dogs outside the Microsoft Theater.
Yeah. Donate them for one night. We're asking you not to eat six hot dogs outside the Microsoft Theater. Save that money. Buy this ticket.
I think people are aware of what $30 is. I don't think we need a lot of examples to get them to understand it. But tickets are on sale right now through AXS.com. Proceeds benefit the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund and Cedars-Sinai NICU. We have raised, and I'm not, I don't mean to brag, but we've raised over $1 million for those charities.
Amazing.
And charities like them in the previous 10 years. So why don't you be a part of it? Proceeds to a good cause, and it's a great night of entertainment. AXS.com. Join us for all that comedy.
Bean.
Yes, dear.
Out of curiosity, does it concern you that more people wanted to be up super close? Are you going to wear something different now? Like, I'm wondering about my pores. Like, what's going to happen?
I am uncomfortable with how close people like to be to me.
Yes. Right.
Very much so. If it were me, I would not sell any of the tickets up front. And only sell the
only
ones at
30.
The back.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Just the $30 tickets.
Got it.
But look, I'm not running things. Mm-hmm. It's the Microsoft Theater. There are lots of great vantage points, so buy your ticket. I heard the voice of a young beer mug in there.
Yes, Bean, you did.
How you doing, buddy?
How you doing?
So weird. That's a microphone, by the way, in front of you. No,
I tend to.
Oh, you don't need to tell him. He's a broadcasting professional.
What? He is. Bugs, a lot of people may know you as a behind-the-scenes guy here on K-Rock.
Sure.
And, of course, you know, we feature you on the air over the past several years, and you do your cheers with Beer Mug, and you're our man on the street, and they talk to you when they answer the phone. But they may not realize that you have loftier ambitions than just being part of this Dog and Pony show. You're a star in your own right.
Wow.
Every Thursday night. Am I right?
Wow. I mean, that might be over-exaggerating, but...
Accept it.
Yes, I'm going to take that from the broadcast legend himself, once known as Flash Phillips, Bean Baxter.
I was Flash Phillips. That's true. You are a star in your own right on Thursday night. So what happens at midnight or 2 a.m. or something? You come on before our Friday morning show.
Yes, so the midnight Friday morning, I start a 5-hour overnight shift where... Kevin Weatherby has given me the reins to talk on the world famous K-Rock.
Wow. Yeah. You know, that's a job that, no joke, hundreds of other broadcasters out here would move to Los Angeles to work that shift.
I know, it's pretty special. And like I said, you know, with the legends that have come through K-Rock, like Jed the Fish, Doug the Slug, you, Bean. I mean, you are the man.
You don't have to butter me up. Okay?
Yes, I'm going to keep buttering you up because you are the man when it comes to talking up intros.
I'm also the man who's about to play your air check on the air for everybody to hear, because this is what we're all missing at 3 a.m. when we're not up listening to K-Rock. Mugs on the radio.
106.7 K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock. It is Beer Mug. It's going to be a wonderful night. I'm going to be here with you for 4 more hours. And then the Kevin and Bean Show will be coming in, which I also work for. This is going to be a long day, is what I'm saying.
I feel like you've just begun. Yeah. You're already complaining.
Yeah, it's already over it.
The first talk break, first hour. Wow.
I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I here all night? And then I have to stick around for the stupid morning show.
If I tuned in, I'd be like, this guy is starting a career dilemma that I'm going to listen to over the next 4 hours.
Do you hear how he just gets so deflated as he says that?
Silver Sun Pickups playing Kaboo. What is Kaboo, Brian?
Now, wait, who's Brian?
Who's Brian?
Does he have a microphone?
Brian was the board op before me. I relieved him, and he was still standing in the studio. And as I was trying to find where Silver Sun Pickups were playing, I was frantically flipping through our liner book, and I had no idea where it was. So I decided to look at Brian and ask him.
And he clearly had no response to you.
No. He's picking up his things. He's leaving. Yeah. He's not sticking with you for your meltdown.
You were not at all prepared to talk about Kaboo at all, right? It's just that you said it and then you thought, oh man, what have I done?
What gave you that impression? What is Kaboo, Brian? I found it. September 13th through the 15th. More info, go to KROQ.com.
Do you also feel, this is kind of a Radio 101 question, but do you also feel if there's 48 seconds at the beginning of a song, you have to use it all?
No, and that's the golden rule that Kevin will tell you. He says you don't have to talk up the entire intro. You can let it breathe. But
right. Well, you did not follow that advice because it sounded like you were just going to keep going until they started singing.
And I'm curious, is there even a Brian? I mean, let's really tackle
it. Very well could have not been.
He
picks
up his hand and it has a mouth drawn on it.
All right, here's more mugs.
It's 106.7 K-Rock. Now, the whole Leaving Neverland thing, do you...
No.
Let's bring the mood up with Leaving Neverland.
Somebody's leaving the club. Turns on K-Rock. No.
So Muggs is going to do his pedophilia chunk now for people listening in the middle of the night. Let's see where this goes.
The whole Leaving Neverland thing, do you boycott bands that have covered Michael Jackson, too, if you're on the side of the accusers?
Oh, no, not alien anymore.
So that's where he was going.
Yes.
Now, is that a legitimate question? I think it sort of is.
Yeah,
I mean, he wrote the song.
It is, but the dramatic pause that alien ant form coming in. Bang! Oh, he thinks he nailed it.
I do like the idea that Alien Ant Farm now comes out to that song and does a small tight five about should we do this song? And everyone gets very excited.
Muggs, we've only heard like 40 seconds of this, and you're already a national treasure.
Oh, so good.
All right, here's some more.
106.7 K Rock, Alien OC's alternative rock. It is Beer Mug, one Los Angeles band. That was Bad Flower. Song called Promise Me, and to another Los Angeles band, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Huh. I like it. Los Angeles. I love you.
Wow, we got sexy mugs.
Little love note.
Contemplative mugs.
To the smooth sounds of KROQ.
But wow. You see, I mean, that's a pro talk in there, guys, because he modulates his voice compared to, you know, in symphony with what the song is doing.
Sure.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. That's very well done, Mugs.
Thank you.
That was new K-Rock alternative rock from Catfish and the Bottlemen called Long Shot. Right now, this is Pennywise with F Authority, and I'm going to say F my credit card company.
Okay, wait, what?
What's happening?
Is this late in the night? I mean,
this is the last hour.
Okay.
This is the final hour.
Hey, what are you, checking your balance or something during the song?
I had a little issue last week.
On the tape, Muggs. It's on the tape. Here we go.
How is it my fault if the app charges me 10 times on one payment and I can't get my money until next week?
Okay, now what are the listeners to do with this information?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was more venting than anything. Mm-hmm. And if it's one thing I've learned, you know, relatability is the key for a listener to tune in. So maybe they're having credit card issues and problems that I wouldn't.
Pennywise says F authority. I say F my credit card. Are you with me?
All right, I think there's one more.
106.7 K-Rock, Elliot OC's alternative rock. That was New Interrupters. Gave You Everything. That's such a great song. Amy Interrupter, by the way. She's so sweet. Such a sweet, sweet young lass. And back to my credit card thing. I was paying a bill. A one-time bill. And the credit card company decided to charge it 8 times, draining my bank account. And I'm so mad right now. So mad!
All right. Can I give you a piece of advice as a guy who's been around for a while in this business, Muggs?
I would love some.
Don't ever change. LA and OC's alternative rock. 106.7 KROQ and the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday. We have not forgotten your Weekend One sold-out passes, by the way, for Coachella coming up the weekend of April 12th. We'll give them to you in 5 minutes from right now. First, Allie's got what's happening.
Well, not only are we giving away those Coachella passes, house passes, all of that, we're going to talk about April Fool's jokes, pranks that we might have fallen for, because what kind of sucker does that, right?
Right.
But I'd like to talk about some other April Fool's jokes that went on yesterday that maybe some of you fell for before I reveal mine next hour, because I'm still upset about it. But Justin Bieber had duped some fans. He shared an ultrasound photo on Instagram without a caption, causing fans to think, him and Haley Baldwin, they're expecting their child. But then, minutes after he posted the ultrasound, he shared a set of photos that showed Haley Baldwin with medical professionals touching her stomach area. And then he wrote, if you thought it was April Fool's. So then people were like, wait, maybe she is pregnant. Weird day to announce it. But in the end, Bieber clarified the pregnancy post was a doctored ultrasound photo that included the head of a puppy. However, people noticed that the ultrasound photo was the exact photo in the Wikipedia entry for sonogram. So it seems like he just Googled sonogram, was like, that one will do. And that's what he posted.
Half fell for it. That's my half. Mm-hmm. I knew it was an April Fool's joke, but because she is the host of a television show I produce. Mm-hmm. And so I just wrote to another producer on the show. I wrote, well, she's either not going to be on the show again, or it's an April Fool's joke.
Right.
Which I figured it was an April Fool's joke. But still, it was in my mind.
You never know.
You never know.
Then when he posts a second picture with what it looks like doctors touching her stomach, you're like, well, why would they have that?
There was an IV nearby, though, and I was like, that would be a weird thing to check your pregnancy, but also put you on an IV.
Yeah.
So I was putting it together.
Look,
I was smarter than the average parent.
Wow, Nancy Drew over here.
Yeah.
Is it a funny April Fool's prank?
No.
If Justin Bieber fakes a pregnancy?
No, it's not funny.
No.
Okay.
Jennifer Garner also hopped on Instagram to reveal that she's written a book, a memoir, titled Bless Your Heart. And she showed the cover of the book, and everyone was like, oh my God, can't wait to read it. And then at the end, she's like, thank you all for being so happy for me. Your sweetness made me feel really bad because it's an April Fool's joke.
So what is the April Fool's joke? That she wrote a book?
That she wrote a book.
Good one.
Not as good as Tom Brady's April Fool's joke.
Did he have a tomato?
So he joined Twitter last month, but has never tweeted. So yesterday, he shared his first tweet. He wrote, I'm retiring.
I want to kiss my son with my tongue.
Nope.
Tom Brady is old.
It didn't write that either. Wrote, I'm retiring. In my spare time, I'll be tweeting. Oh, nailed it, Tom.
Oh,
that's a great one. Oh, What's happening?
Congratulations to all the social media managers out there earning their money.
Unbelievable.
On this mission, the only passenger is a dummy.
Yep.
Oh. However, Redbox did announce a service that would utilize drones to fly kiosks to customers' doorsteps. They had a promo for the company's transactional streaming offering, Redbox On Demand, which will allow consumers to pay as they go for movies and shows they stream. But it's just drone-to-door service. And people were like, that sounds pretty good. Again, April Fools.
Come on now.
Guys, it's all just insane. Just insane. If you see this title, are you going to read the story? Pink blasts commenters who criticize her two-year-old son's penis.
Nope.
No?
No. Mm. But I get it. She probably posted a naked picture of her son.
Wow.
And now we have to sit and it's pretty much child porn.
It's like a super sleuth over here. It's happening.
That's why I brought this magnifying glass today.
Yes.
Is that what happened?
I'm just holding it up against my eye.
She did post a picture of her two-year-old son without a diaper on. Him and his seven-year-old sister were feeding pelicans at the beach. And she posted it and said, as any normal mother at the beach, I didn't even notice that he took off his swim diaper. And she wrote, going after my baby's penis about circumcision? Are you guys for real? She then deleted it, reposted it with it censored, and wrote, I deleted it because you're all effing disgusting. And now I'm turning off my comments and shaking my head at the state of social media and keyboard warriors and the negativity that you bring to other people's lives. There is something seriously wrong with a lot of you out there.
She's wrong.
I'm not posting naked children.
She should be. I mean, it's also for her kid. I mean, that's kind of what we've been talking about on this show every once in a while, which is that kids don't get to make the decision if you get to post it or not.
Right.
And one of my two-year-old penis... probably not something I want online.
Why don't you just grab that sound?
I hope you
right
talked
there.
Over the end.
Yeah.
I genuinely realized it halfway through.
Absolutely didn't. Yeah, I just feel like it's probably best not to post. I feel like, and I know I'm not a mother and I am speaking at a turn, but posting your kids on your social media and having an open account is just bad. There's such wackadoodle weirdos out there.
This is the next step above, though, posting a naked picture of your child.
Yeah. And people are always going to have opinions on how you raise your kids. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
In real life or on social
media.
It sucks, too, because I did see the picture, and now I have to alert all my neighbors that I live in my area.
Right.
I have to go door to door.
Because you've seen the photo. Yeah.
I've seen the photo, yeah.
You know, it's interesting. You saw the photo that I, maybe you saw the photo that I posted of my little cousin Isaac that I got together with in Britain, who's three. Mm-hmm. And I was very careful to, you know, when I took that photo, it was just for me and for Donna. But I texted my first cousin, this is his father, and I said, hey, I forgot to ask what your policy is on social media, because I have no problem not posting this if that's your wish. Because I didn't know, because parents vary on that. And he wrote back and he said, post away, no problem. He had no concerns about it at all.
Right.
But I never, ever would have posted it without his permission, certainly.
Right.
True.
And how cute is Isaac?
He's pretty cute.
I mean, you did say beat it, kid, at some point, right?
I did. Well, his mother told him that I was coming from America. Mm-hmm. So when he met me, he was very excited. He had a question in the chamber. He said, do you know Captain America? And he said it in that little, you know, British kid voice, like Peppa Pig.
Right.
And I said, beat it, kid, which maybe, I don't know, maybe wasn't the best introduction ever to his cousin Bean. But he was adorable. But it, just to your point, it's a decision that every family kind of has to make, is what they think is okay. And I respect both sides. I understand the people who think it's okay. I also very much understand the people who think it's not. Late night for daddy.
Late night for I mean, wow. Okay.
That's my book I'm writing.
The worst. All right, guys, some birthdays for you. We've got Michael Fassbender, Adam Rodriguez, Christopher Maloney, Jesse Plemons, Clark Gregg, and radio personality, a legend, Dr. Demento.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Weekend number one of Coachella is fast approaching, you guys. It's the weekend after next, the 12th through the 14th of April. We are not only giving you a pair of sold-out three-day passes, but exclusive access to the K-Rock Coachella House. Jensen, who's coming by the Coachella House this year?
Billie Eilish, the 1975. Ella May, Grammy nominee.
What?
Yeah, there's incredible people that are going to be there. Dylan Francis. It's a great lineup.
Yeah, so that on top of Coachella, plus a set of TCL Bluetooth headphones. In fact, one pair for over-the-ear and one pair of in-ear headphones from TCL, who make great stuff. That's what we're giving away right now for you. And this time around, here's your hint. We're in particular looking for Weezer fans. I believe Weezer is on night two. So if you're a Weezer fan, you want to play a game to win your Coachella tickets on K-Rock, call now. 1-800-520-106. 1 hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friends Noodles and Dexter from The Offspring are going to be joining us. By the way, I don't know if you follow the nudes on social media, but he's formed an exploratory committee to run for president. I mean, he's talking about making the kids all right again. I think I might vote for Noodles.
We have to talk to him about that.
Yeah. And there's a room in his cabinet for us. Let's find out.
Yeah.
1 hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we want to give away sold-out three-day passes to weekend one of Coachella and exclusive access to the K-Rock Coachella House. Plus, you know, TCL, they do those amazing TVs. They're America's fastest-growing TV brand. Mm-hmm. Well, they're also great with headphones, too. And we're going to include a pair of those as well for our lucky winner who can get past Baby Songs.
Baby Songs, oh, Baby Songs.
Found out that this happens a lot. There's like baby songs. It sounds like baby songs, and there's.
Were you searching for the word lullabies when you said baby songs twice?
Yes, I was.
Yes, I was. So now we all call them baby songs, and I asked for Weezer fans. The lines are full of them. Here's what we're going to do is we're going to play a lullaby version of a popular Weezer song you've heard here on K-Rock. All you have to do is identify it. It sounds simpler than it is. Let's just take them in order, Chip, and we'll start with line one. This is going to be Michael in Torrance, our first contestant to go into the drawing to win the great prize. Hey, Michael, how you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
We're fantastic. All right, listen up. We can only play it once. This is a lullaby. Then you tell us what Weezer song they're performing. Don't get this one, there's no hope for you. What Weezer song is that?
Oh man, it goes, I don't care what they say about us anyway. I don't care about that. Man,
right? What's
yeah,
it called?
I'm trying to think of the song.
I'm sorry. No. We were looking for Buddy Holly. Thank you for playing, Michael. Appreciate it. That's got to hurt, by the way.
Everybody on hold is freaking out that they knew that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see about Cindy. Granada Hills up next, line two. Hey, Cindy.
Hey.
That was painful listening to Michael struggle through that one, wasn't it?
It was so painful.
Okay. Let's see how you do. Here's your baby song. You go, what do you think?
An island in the sun.
Nice. Yes. Well done, Cindy. You are in the drawing. You are one step closer to Coachella weekend number one, plus the K-Rock House as well. Up next, contestant number three. This is Matt, Woodland Hills. Hey, Matt.
Good morning, party people.
And to you as well, my friend. Listen up. Here's your lullaby of a Weezer song. The one thing we're not focusing on is how terrible these are.
There also was like a weird horn in that one, like a bike horn.
Matt, what do you think?
Oh man, that one was more hard, more difficult than the other two. I'd go with Say It Ain't So.
I'm sorry, no. We were looking for Beverly Hills. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you playing anyway. Adrian is up next, trying to get into the drawing. Adrian, you ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Here's your baby song. Good luck.
That's Say It Ain't So.
It sure is. You know, I don't know if it's possible for Weezer to sue, but I feel like they have a good case, don't you?
This also is making me question having a baby at all.
This is what you have to listen to. Yeah. Let's go to Santa Monica, say hi to Luke. Luke, how have you been doing playing along listening on the phone?
I'm still pretty upset that guy didn't get Buddy Holly.
Yeah, I know. We all felt that.
But why don't you save your mockery until we see how you do with your baby song? Listen up. Big man, what do you got?
Undone.
Very well done. You have you've accomplished the goal. Let's try one more. And let's make it Cam in Valencia. Cam is our final contestant. You ready to play, Cam?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, good luck. Here you go. Says here that's supposed to be, but is that what it is?
It's just the last part was.
Okay. This is a tough one, Cam, but we're counting on you. What do you got?
That was terrible.
Yeah.
We can all agree on that, but what's it called?
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I agree.
I don't blame you. That was, believe it or not, Hash Pipe. I think they missed the thread of that one a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Wow, all the lines are weird now. Are all the top five in the drawing? Is that where we're at?
No, we just have three in the drawing.
Cindy, Adrian, and Luke. Those are the only ones.
Yes.
All right. Pair of sold-out three-day passes to weekend one of Coachella, the weekend of the 12th. Also exclusive access to the K-Rock Coachella house, plus a set of fantastic TCL Bluetooth headphones. Great contestants. Thank you for playing. Only one winner, though. Who's that going to be, Miss Allie McKay?
Congratulations, Cindy.
Cindy. Yay! Cindy, congratulations. You're going to Coachella.
Yay!
And bring a bathing suit because you're also going by the K-Rock Coachella house. You're going to have a fantastic time with lots of gifts and enjoy those TCL headphones too. And thanks for playing Baby Songs.
Baby songs, oh baby songs.
Kevin Amin's April Foolishness is fast approaching, you guys. It's going to be on the 26th of April. That's a Friday night at the beautiful Microsoft Theater. Great acoustics in that theater, too, especially for comedy. Mm-hmm. We are very excited about the lineup this year with Adam Ray and Felipe Esparza, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eddie If, Jamie Lee, Ray Romano. Special guest that we can't announce yet, plus the Kevin Amin rap battle. And I can't wait till we get a little closer. We can start talking about this on the air, Jensen, because I've been working behind the scenes on mine.
Oh.
And I run out of steam on My Name is Bean and I'm Here to Say. That's really, that's where I fall apart.
No. Well, that's pretty early in it.
I know. I do feel like I should be further along at this point.
Yeah.
But you're the expert, so I think you're gonna be coaching both corners,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, I'll be out there. I'll also probably be running it all, so you'll see us all. We're all gonna be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Come
yeah.
say hello.
So it's gonna be a great time, and there are still some tickets available for as cheap as $30, and they're on sale now at AXS.com. It's gonna be a can't miss event April 26th at the Microsoft Theater. All right, that business out of the way, let's turn our attention to this. It's time for Animal Stories.
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
We start in Minnesota. There is a distracted driver call that went out to the police there. And this newscaster was so delighted with how many pig-related puns he was able to use. Allie, this is going to make you want to be back on TV. You're going to love this so much.
It. A sheriff's deputy in Minnesota figured he was going to catch someone texting behind the wheel after responding to a tip that a truck was driving erratically. Texting and driving wasn't the issue. The distracted driver wasn't eating or putting on makeup either. But the joke about putting lipstick on a pig has never been more appropriate.
Okay, so there's one because he's got a pig in the cab of his truck with him, okay, that's causing some distraction. So lipstick on a pig.
Because Sergeant Jason Foster found a pig in the swerving driver's lap. No wonder why the driver was being such a road hog.
Oh, jeez.
Foster tells the local Fox station that it was the man's 250-pound pet pig that had the man muscling the steering wheel to try and stay in his lane. But this little piggy was not on its way to the market all alone.
Irene! Sir!
Come on. Back away from the pun, sir!
There was another pig in the pickup. Good thing none of the parties bought the farm and had an accident.
Okay, look, you gotta...
They're not even good.
He needs to be put down, doesn't he?
He does.
This little piggy wasn't going to market. They haven't bought the farm. Come on with the road hog.
So why were the animals out of the pig pen? The elderly driver says he was moving homes and didn't want his pigs to get cold in the back of the truck. No doubt the driver's pigment changed after he was let go with a warning instead of getting roasted.
Okay, that doesn't even make any sense.
He's just reaching now.
His pigment is not a pig pun. The two things are not related at all, sir. Stop it already.
The driver was told to lay the pig in the back or put it in the passenger seat. It's all in a day's work for the sergeant. Seems like a crazy way to bring home the bacon.
No!
Wow.
That's what happened in Minnesota. We go to England now. A scantily clad Cornish man has gone viral. Here's a sentence, Allie. You always ask, would you read the article?
Uh-huh.
A scantily clad Cornish man has gone viral after his bizarre sex dance with a pheasant.
I couldn't click that fast
go
enough.
Go on.
Now, Steve Phelps was asked to help a neighbor who was having problems with a territorial pheasant on his land. Apparently, every time this guy would go out to jump on his ride-on lawnmower, the bird would chase him and attack him, and it got to the point where he was clawing him in the face with his talons. This is a pheasant that just kind of lived in the woods by this dude's house. So he says to Steve, what do you got? So Steve went on Facebook and asked, what do you do when you've got an aggressive pheasant who's kind of hanging out in your yard? How do you get rid of it? And one person said the way to do it, and I don't know if this was a prank, you got to do a sex dance, guys. You got to assert your dominance and claim your territory. It's breeding season, so pheasants show off as to who is the biggest and best, so I decided to take him up on it. To be fair, the pheasant looked shocked more than anything. One of my friends had bought me a one-sided G-string for Christmas, and I thought I'll wear that to show off my masculinity. And then I'm preparing the dance in his outfit. He says he was bent over with his tail wagging. He put sticks between his butt cheeks to act as tail feathers and started wagging his butt at the pheasant.
There is no pheasant.
No. He had an agenda, and he found a way to do it.
He was going to dress up like that bird or no bird.
Yeah.
The foolhardy Cornishman admitted that he did get nervous when he got close to the bird. He followed me for a second, so I went back and I shook my bum again. And you know what? He hasn't attacked anyone since the sex dance.
And now we're married and have two kids. Nice.
I think he was shocked into dismissal. So this guy believes that he showed up and out-pheasanted a pheasant, and the pheasant was like, I'm standing down, man. I didn't know. I didn't know this was my competition. I love that story. This one is animals and Florida all rolled into one. Of course, the Sunshine State has seen its share of natural disasters, but nothing quite like this. This is actually... I think, weren't frogs one of the biblical plagues?
Yes.
Don't they come
Yeah. They're a sign.
Citizens on the outskirts of Miami are struggling with an invasion of poisonous bufo toads, also known as cane toads. Thousands of them have materialized in the Mirabella neighborhood in Palm Beach Gardens in recent weeks. People are complaining they can barely walk without stepping on a frog. They're taking up residences in pools, lounging on patios and driveways. They enjoy snacking on native species, including bugs. In addition to being biblically weird, they also pose a threat to pets. They secrete a milky toxin that can be deadly to pets if ingested. In both humans and animals, the secretion can irritate eyes and skin. They think, by the way, that back in 1955, a man with a toad removal service accidentally released 100 of them into the area. They are a non-local species that has survived for the last 50 years. Hmm. And every once in a while, with the right combination of warm winter and heavy rain, the toads come out again.
Nothing.
Thousands of them.
This makes total sense that we got butterflies and Florida got poisonous toads.
It does indeed. And finally, we have all been to Petco and we have seen the sign on the door that says all leashed pets are welcome. Well, this guy decided to test that theory and brought his cow to Petco on a leash.
Well, of course, we know the saying, everything is bigger in Texas, and that includes the pets.
Sure does, but one guy decided to test Petco's policies, and he took his steer to the store on a leash. He posted the adventure and wrote that Petco did not disappoint and welcomed him right in. The store in Atascocita posted these photos as well of the large animal hanging out. Pretty sure that's a longhorn that we're looking at there. That's an impressive one. Petco's policy, by the way, is that all leashed pets are welcome, so it proves to be true.
This
love
is Shelley Lumpkin and Vincent Browning are the cow's owners. He's actually an African Watusi. He was welcomed with open arms. We don't know how much he weighs, but that breed generally weighs about 1,600 pounds at adulthood. And that's what he walked through the front doors of the Petco for, just to see if they would be cool with it. And they were.
That's where the pets go.
That's where the pets go. And this has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Management asked me to stop by with a reminder. Today is April Fool's Day.
All right.
Have as much fun as you want, but just remember this rule from corporate.
Oh, that's I forgot. I just found this piece of tape when we were instructed that we were no longer allowed to do April Fool's Day shows. Because we used to have so much fun. We had so many great ones over the years. I mean, who can forget the Blink-182 free concert? Who can forget the Mall of America West, right? We had a lot of fun. And then we got this word.
Under no circumstances are you allowed to say anything that isn't true. Other than that, go for it. Now get out there and unlock some value for the CBS shareholders. That's what good radio is all about. That's ha, fantastic. Ha, ha.
So we weren't allowed to do any April Fool's Day jokes yesterday, but that didn't mean a lot of people didn't do them out there. Some, like we've talked about, the Justin Bieber one, not that interesting. One that I heard about that a lot of people fell for, Jensen and Allie, and really got kind of upset about. Did you see what Tinder did?
No.
Tinder introduced height verification. Because there were so many people, they say, that were fibbing a little bit. You know, you say you're 5'10 on your profile and you're really like 5'6". They said that we have to stop this. This kind of dishonesty is not good for the service. It hurts us. It hurts the people that you're being introduced. So they introduced a height verification badge where you had to take your picture next to like a commercial building. And then they had some sort of a formula they could use to find out how tall you really were. And then you actually got like a little check mark to prove that you actually.
Amazing.
And people absolutely fell for it. They were outraged by it. Probably people who were super short who'd been lying on their Tinder profile. But that kind of just got us into the topic. What did you fall for on April Fool's Day yesterday? We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. It can be kind of anything big or small, but you slapped your forehead afterwards when you realized, oh my God, I'm one of those people who fell for an April Fool's Day joke. 1-800-520-1067. We want to take your calls.
I didn't fall for it, but I really wished it was true, is that Nissin, the company that puts out Cup of Noodles, they put out we're releasing these headphones. And they're just headphones for your, you know, just listening to music. But on each side are cup of noodles, big, big cups. And then you use a spork to plug it into your computer. I was like, I would buy this stupid joke. I want them now.
Allie, you have teased us that you're a little embarrassed that you fell for one yesterday.
I'm mortified at this.
But you're usually pretty savvy.
Yeah. So you know when you get a text and just the first few words show up, even if you don't open it? So I get a text from my friend Cassie. And if you're listening right now, Cassie, you go straight to hell. Because this is what showed up. I glance down and I see, why is a naked pic on your story? And my mind immediately goes to, oh my God, was I hacked? Oh no, a lot of times when you take a picture of something, sometimes a reflection, was I naked taking a picture? Was all of these things are going through my head. I freak out. I pull my car over. I click on the text and there's just a blank space between that and these words. Just kidding, in case your heart dropped. April Fool's mother effer. I hate you, Cassie. Here's the thing. Whitney Cummings fell for it too. It was on her story. She's like, this is what happens when David Spade texts you.
That's
so
awesome.
This is evil. This is pure evil.
That's an incredible bitch.
Yeah. My beehole puckered.
That is a great April Fool's Day, Fred. Yeah.
It is good. It works. That, it's yeah. quick. Yeah. It's fast. Doesn't
because yeah. yeah, because and because everybody will have the exact same mindset that mm-hmm. Allie had, which is, oh my God, what is this person talking about? What happened that I don't know that's out there for the public to see right now?
Yeah.
Buzz Aldrin, second man on the moon, tweeted yesterday that he was excited to announce that he has successfully petitioned NASA to rename Uranus to something more appropriate. Not sure how many people fell for it, but for like a 90-year-old guy, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
How about you, King? You fell for one?
Well, the U.S. Open... which I don't follow, but I saw it, tweeted out, breaking, the U.S. Open to add puppies to the ball person team at the 2019 tournament for the first time. All breeds welcome, and include a little cute corgi chasing a ball. So I retweeted and said, I don't watch tennis, but this is some great news. It was all great until listener Maddie tweeted me and said, I'm really sorry to ruin this, but it's definitely an April Fool's joke. Now, wouldn't it be better if this was true?
I don't know why they don't use dogs.
Yeah.
Yes, people would actually watch tennis.
Well, people are watching tennis, but I think it would be I think it would be pretty cool. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I bet that happens a lot where a company puts something out for April Fool's Day and then realizes, hey, we should really make it or we should really sell it or whatever.
That happened with a Star Wars Tauntaun sleeping bag that happened a few years ago and some company had put it out and then they made millions of dollars from it when they released it for real.
Smart, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like, I feel like if you were a company, you could test something
for
on April Fool's Day.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, let's take a couple of calls. What April Fool's Day prank did you fall for? 1-800-520-1067. We don't have much time, but we definitely want to talk to Jet. He's on line two, up first on the Kevin and Bean Show from Los Angeles. Hey, Jet, what's going on, man?
How you guys doing?
Great.
Yeah, so yesterday, my wife, I'm a father of three kids, and me and my wife go back and forth a lot with the practical jokes, but last night she had said that one of my kids wasn't mine.
This is a whole new level of April Fool's jokes.
So throughout the whole day, she kept saying, you know, she was sorry, kept playing me, kept doing this and that, and giving me the whole guilt. And I was really, really, really trying to figure out whether or not she was playing with me. But it just seemed like it was real because she kept going throughout the whole day, calling me at work and just giving me the whole thing. So today I just decided that when I found out that obviously she was joking around, because I got home and she gave me this card that was sort of like a doctor's note that said, April Fool's, this son is yours.
Uh-huh.
I decided to follow up today with a paternity test. So I am going to definitely April Fool her today and give her a paternity test just to joke with her to see if whether or not we can get all our kids tested.
All right. Is this couple going to stay together forever, or is this a surefire road to divorce? What do you guys think?
I'm terrified right now.
Honestly, if this doesn't end in murder-suicide, I am surprised.
Jet, let us know how it goes. Good luck. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's try Tara, Los Angeles, line 4, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tara, what'd you fall for?
Hey, so I'm a huge Dolly Parton fan, and my friends from Nashville sent me a message saying that Kanye bought Dollywood for $130 million, and I was super upset because I did not like Kanye.
I
totally fell for it. I was so upset.
That is awesome. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
That's kind of adorable.
I feel like Kanye would keep it intact.
Absolutely
not. I hope
not.
So. Yeah. He knows what's right for him.
No.
He would. All right, let's try Carlos, line 6, please, Los Angeles. This is one that I think a lot of people would have fallen for just because they want it to be true so much. Carlos, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, my friends were texting me like, hey, Kobe's coming out of retirement. And I got so excited. I hugged my wife, and I was like, Kobe's coming back, hey. But then they're like, are you serious? And then later on they told me, dude, we were just messing with you. I was like, why would you do that to me, man? That's like, oh, my God.
Right? You wasted a hug on your wife.
Yeah, right? Oh, no. especially at the end of a season where you don't make the playoffs again. Yeah. It's like all you want is, please, can somebody come and help LeBron? I get it. Thank
you
for the call.
Would.
Let's try Lorena Encino, line 5, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lorena, you may have to be our final call here. What'd you fall for?
Oh, man, my boyfriend woke up in the morning and was reading this article that said Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins had bought the right to the name Nirvana from Courtney Love, Francis Bean, all the members from Nirvana, and that Courtney Love was going to be the new front person. And I was like, holy crap, hell no.
That does sound like it could happen, though. That doesn't sound that off.
I mean,
I'm with you. Oh, hell no.
I sense that you're not appreciating my fun facts.
I mean, right before we go on air, we have a couple seconds left, and you asked this. Go ahead, ask it again.
How many breast implants do you think were performed on ladies in the United States last year?
Oof. And then we went to air.
Yeah.
I didn't have a guess, but when I saw it, the number surprised me.
300,000.
300,000, all right. Allie?
Oh, I'd say much more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say close to a million.
What if I were to tell you 314,000 is the actual amount?
That was beans.
That's insanely creepy how close
it
I am.
See, because I was thinking 500,000, just one boob, so I doubled it to a million.
That makes sense.
So Jensen, we're talking about both.
Mm-hmm. You just won The Price is Right. Yeah. That was an unbelievable guess.
Really and by good. A lot. Like, everyone would have applauded. Yeah. I would have won both showcases.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Yeah.
I'm with Allie. I would have thought it would have been a lot more than that if I actually stopped and thought about it. So get out there and get it done, ladies. All right. Dexter and Noodles from The Offspring are on their way. They're running a little late. It looks like around 8:15 for that. And then Jensen's going to introduce us to someone that I don't know anything about coming up after 8. And we will apparently all have very strong feelings about this young woman who is a huge social media star.
Yeah, I think we'll be hearing a lot about her on the Kevin and Bean Show from this day on.
So that's coming up. First, Allie's got what's happening here on a Tuesday.
I feel like we don't need to throw Dexter under the bus because he's here. Mm-hmm. It's Noodles.
Well, he's the good one.
Yeah,
we call him the good one.
Mr. I'm going to run for president. Noodles can't even be bothered to show up on time.
Yeah, that's
what's
a bad
happening?
Sign. Because I hadn't decided whether to throw my considerable support behind his campaign yet. But now if he's already running late this early in the campaign, I don't know.
Exactly.
I'm Donald Trump and I approve this message.
Like, he may have lost a vote, but we'll see. You know, if he stopped to, you know, to save a puppy on the way in or something, though, then he does get a pass.
Kiss
we
a
don't
baby.
Know. We don't know. But if he's like, oh, listen, my time's more important than yours, F you. Right, Dexter? Am I right, Dexter, in the other room? You're here.
Right.
You know, Noodles for president. Is driving just like, shut up, you guys. I'm on my way.
Some emergency that we're just messing on.
Oh, no. Yeah,
it's like my dog was in the vet and I couldn't breathe. And
my mom was on fire.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
I'm just saying it could be bad. We don't know.
It could definitely be my mom was on fire.
Call now. No, don't call now.
Let's save our scorn until Mr. President gets it.
Yeah.
God, I hope his mom isn't on fire.
Fatality.
A real great example there. You guys, you know Grant Gustin?
Nope.
Plays the Flash. Flash on the CW. So he was on a flight Sunday night from LAX to Vancouver. Once the plane leveled off, he headed straight to the bathroom and allegedly put his vaping pen to serious work. Witnesses tell TMZ that smoke was coming out of the bathroom and it was so intense, it set off a smoke alarm after seeping into the cockpit where the captain and co-pilot were forced to wear oxygen masks.
Come on.
What?
That is how planes are designed, is to let you know if there's a fire.
Right. The plane was not diverted. After landing in Vancouver, Grant was kept on the plane where he was met by Canadian authorities. And wow, is he lucky that he's him, because he was let off with just a warning.
And Canada. He's lucky that he's got the nice Mounties walking in.
Wow.
Right.
I mean, what are you doing, dude?
I feel like they make a warning on every single flight that if you tamper with a smoke detector or try to smoke on a plane, it's going to be big trouble. And I thought that meant arrest.
Yeah, I thought that was like a felony.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. I think it might be a bigger deal if it was someone that wasn't Grant Gustin, maybe.
Sure.
The Flash.
Right? He could have just bolted right on out of there and run fast like the Flash does.
You've never seen the Flash, huh?
Well, I saw. Remember when then they had Reverse Flash on and he just ran backwards all fast and people were like, whoa, Reverse Flash.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, you should
also
watch.
Reverse Flash would be someone who runs slow.
No, he runs backwards.
No, that's backwards Flash.
Okay.
Reverse
Flash. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on, keep your flashes straight.
I didn't watch that season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ever.
So, anywho. Bean, were you in England when the story broke that Jerry Halliwell and Mel B had
I was.
Sitch?
And I overheard several different conversations from people about that. It was very big news.
Yeah, Mel B was on, I believe it was a show that Pierce Morgan was hosting, and she talked about how she had once hooked up with Ginger Spice during the big Spice Girls heyday. But now, Jerry's reps are denying those rumors, saying it has been very disappointing to read all of these rumors again, especially on UK Mother's Day of all days. Jerry loves the Spice Girls, Emma, Melanie, Victoria. She would like the fans to know that what has been reported recently is simply not true, and it has been very hurtful to her family.
This is terrible timing because they're just getting ready to do that reunion tour.
They're
in the UK.
Reuniting to go on tour. What are you doing, Mel B?
But Mel B did technically say this is going to happen. She was like, oh, I know she's not going to be happy about this. We'll probably deny it, but...
She's like, listen, she's not so posh now, blah, blah, blah. Right. It was like, what are you talking about? Mm. Why would you even... Why would you bring it up knowing that it would hurt her?
Yeah.
If it happened or didn't happen.
You don't betray your friend's confidence like
no.
that.
No. Very odd, you guys. But I'm going to definitely see the Spice Girls now, right?
Hello.
Why do I keep doing that?
It was really weird in that clip, too, because it's not like there was a lot of pressure on her. Mm-hmm. She could have easily just brushed away the assumption.
Right. Yeah.
And changed the topic. But she just sat there, and it was almost like she kind of enjoyed the attention of saying it.
And don't
it
you
weird.
Think that if it did happen, that would have been in her book? But it was not in her book. She's like, no, it was about a totally different thing. But if you wanted to be salacious and sell books, that's how you would have done
it.
Wow.
Okay, that's a little on the point.
I mean.
Drama queen.
Just saying. Hey, you're getting a tattoo, Bean, coming up in a couple weeks, right?
I am, yes.
What about pregnant women? Should they be getting inked?
Good question. I don't know that answer at all.
I don't either.
Well, pregnancy requires you to give up things you like. Alcohol, sushi, large amounts of coffee. So should pregnant women be getting inked? Apparently, there's no set rules as far as it goes. But a doctor in this story, Dr. Holly Cummings, says you're best off just maybe wait the 9 months. Because, you know, obviously you want to follow all the necessary hygiene and safety procedures, which you would do regardless of if you were pregnant or not. But apparently some tattoo inks contain heavy metals, which would interfere with the formation of a baby's organs, especially in the first trimester.
Well, that answers that question.
I feel like then there should be a set rule if that is something that's known.
This sucks because Danielle just got that barbed wire arm thing that Pamela Anderson
absolutely.
Had. We got it absolutely like the exact same replica.
Right.
That sucks. We should have known. Someone should have told us.
Just last week.
Yeah, last
Looks
week.
Looks great, though. It's feeling wonderfully.
How's her thug life doing, though? Is that still all right across her stomach?
To be honest with you, stretching, it doesn't even look like thug life anymore.
Yeah.
It looks like a full paragraph, which is...
people
are like, what is that? I have to say it's the first page of Great Gatsby, which it's not.
No.
At all. It's not that at all.
I do love that book.
Mm-hmm. And it would be a good tattoo, but it's not what she has.
Yeah. It's real concerning. Mm-hmm. Do you think Noodles is still listening or trying
to... he tuned out.
I doubt anyone's still listening.
Yeah, right? Because their moms are all on fire.
Right. I don't know, man.
Good Lord. Some birthdays for you. Dr. Demento. Christopher Maloney, Adam Rodriguez, Michael Fassbender, Jesse Plemons, and Clark Gregg.
You guys hear that Nirvana's coming back with Courtney Love singing lead?
Yeah, $1 billion he paid for the rights.
Billy Corgan's all behind that. Mm-hmm. That's what I heard a listener say.
I heard they're going to do a whole review show at Dollywood.
Oh, Kanye's Dollywood. Uh-huh. Yes,
Yeah, a lot of good April Fool's pranks yesterday that people fell for, and we appreciate you calling in and sharing that with us. We are less than 15 minutes away from Noodles and Dexter from The Offspring joining us, less than an hour away from your tickets for sold-out three-day passes to weekend number one of Coachella to see Childish Gambino and Solange and Tame Impala, Kid Cudi, Weezer, Dylan Francis is going to be there, the 1975, Casey Musgraves. Great lineup again this year. Win your tickets and access to the K-Rock House coming up. All right, Jensen, it's all yours.
Yeah, I wish this was April Fool's. But first, small disclaimer, this person we're talking about is 15 years old, so let's temper how far we go. But don't get me wrong, JoJo's quite possibly the most annoying person on the internet.
Oh, no.
So we can be honest about that.
I mean, Alex Jones still exists, though, right?
I don't know. Alex Jones might have her beat as far as what I can handle in one day.
Okay.
She first entered pop culture as a contestant on Abby's Ultimate Dance Competition, which was a competitive reality show that was sprung out of the wildly popular Dance Moms.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that. You can't think much can come out of that that's more, you know, annoying than Dance Moms itself. Well, you'd be wrong. Around the same time, much like, say, Jennifer Hudson or Kelly Clarkson sprung from American Idol, she released a song called Boomerang addressing online bullying. Let's listen to it.
I don't really care about what they say.
So, wait for a minute. I'm a little bit confused.
Please.
It's just the outset. First of all, I've heard much music worse than that.
Okay, I agree.
First of all. Second of all, she was made popular on a dance show, but then she decided that she was multi-talented.
Yes.
She could also sing?
You are 100% correct.
Okay.
But also, I know that song is mediocre at best.
Mm-hmm.
Pop
yeah.
song. How many views do you think it has on YouTube?
Well, I mean, I don't know, because she's well known from TV. I'm going to say 100,000.
Okay.
I would say probably a million, just because it's kind of catchy.
682 million views.
I'm sorry?
682 million views.
Wow.
Now, you might be wondering what she looks like, and I say this with no disrespect, and I know it's insane to say, but I could only tell you she looks like JonBenet Ramsey if she wore lip gloss and shirts with rainbow cupcakes on them. And that is a perfect explanation of what she looks like, I promise. She's like if Amy Poehler was like playing a character that was big on YouTube. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's known for
She's hard to look up because there's an actual pop singer named JoJo.
Yes. This, if you type in JoJo, her last name's like Siwa, S-I-W-A, I believe.
Gotcha.
Okay. She's known for her huge signature bows in her hair that she wears every day with a side ponytail, which she's turned into a business because she has clothing lines at Claire's, Target, and JCPenney, just to name three.
Wow.
She says they're a symbol of power, confidence, and believingness.
Oh.
Okay, again, 15 years old. I'm going to get to another point in a minute.
I kind of love her.
Okay, 15 years old.
Yeah.
She has thousands of hair bows. I want to remind you that Billie Eilish, friend mm-hmm. of the show, is 16. And we think Billie is young, but not this young.
Billie's not wearing a hair bow.
No. She's signed to Nickelodeon. She goes on world tours. How famous and rich has she become? She has an entire empire. Dolls, pajamas. She has her own juice, JoJo juice.
Oh.
Full clothing line. She has her own Lunchables line.
Oh, my God. Wow.
She was in the news yesterday for meeting her biggest fan on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It was Northwest, Kanye and Kim Kardashian's child. It's a video that I won't put you through, but it's basically she's 15, mm-hmm. and she lives in a glitter version of Pee-wee's Playhouse. There's a slide bed. She has a slide that comes down from her bed.
She lives in a house that most young girls would live in if they could design it.
Can I give you one other detail about her that I think mm-hmm. is creepy? She's 5'9". She's very tall for 15. She's going to be like a 6'4" girl.
Right.
I think she's too old for this.
If she was shorter, it would be okay.
A little bit. She's like
Jensen.
I'm saying she's like a woman almost.
No, don't sexualize her because she's taller.
She's definitely not sexualized.
Okay.
She is very much a little girl. She's like a baby toddler. She considers herself a grown toddler.
You know who she is to me? She's a variation on Honey Boo Boo.
She is. She's got like baby Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah.
Now it's time to listen to one of her videos. This is what will, you know, this is answering what people might assume about her. So she's looking on Instagram. She asked people, what do you assume about me? And deals with the idea that she might be in an insane hostage situation where her parents are making her still be a toddler.
Hey everyone, it's JoJo. Welcome to my YouTube channel. You guys, you had no idea what I just said then. I was like gonna keep going with my intro, but then I was realizing what I just said and realizing that it made no sense what I just said.
Wait, that's all one person saying?
That is absolutely real. That's how it starts.
And
if you think it's a bit, here's the actual answer.
So the next assumption is that you want to take off your bow and be a normal teenager, but at the same time you're scared of, I think she meant to just say you're scared to or something like that. That is very false. I hate taking my bow out, and I do think I am a normal teenager because everyone is their own version of normal in a way. So I am very different from other teenagers my age. I'm very different from my own friends that are teenagers that are my age, which is three of them.
I'm going to source that math.
Mm-hmm.
What just happened?
She has three friends. Here's an answer to why like that people think she's a fake person.
I'm definitely not a fake person. One of the things about me is I'm very genuine and very true to who I am in everything that I do, in every aspect of my life. I also don't think I'm a stuck-up person at all. I mean, like, I just go with the flow. I'm very chill. Whatever anyone wants to do, I love doing anything, you know? This one's funny.
Very chill.
She's so chill.
She's so chill.
Does she have a volume knob?
No. By the way, do you want to know what time it is when they film this video? 11:45 p.m.
Okay, oh she should be in bed.
She's 15 years old, 11. Again, 5'9". That's something I want to remind you of.
What is wrong with you and her height?
It's very tall. That's very tall.
Yeah, but that's not her fault, Jensen.
Right? I don't know.
The rainbows and the glitter and the bow is her fault. She has a claw machine in her house,
she
I'm
does.
Seeing.
She has a claw machine.
At an arcade?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's rad.
She has a slime station to make slime. This is what happens when she's asked if she has friends.
I actually don't connect well with people who are my own age, if that makes sense. Most of my bestest friends are 20 and older. Most of them are like 25, 27 and older. So yeah, I don't have thousands. I don't even have hundreds of friends. But I do have like a super, super, super tight, close group of friends that I just love so very much. And they're not even friends anymore. They're family to me.
Okay.
Stop yelling, first of all.
If I'm her parents, my 15-year-old isn't hanging around with 25 to 27-year-olds ever.
But also, what 27-year-old is hanging out with her? Like,
why would
you want to? Yeah, we need to find that person.
That's
also, she's
concerning.
Building like a little Neverland ranch.
Yeah.
Like, why did Kim Kardashian and presumably her husband allow North to be babysat by this monster?
Well, they put a little thing out that said they didn't actually leave the house, which I guess is...
It was just for a video.
It was for
basically.
A video, yeah. Yeah, but I would have more clips. I'm honest, guys, but I was pulling them right before we went to bed, and Danielle and I were laying there, and I was going through them, and she said that if I played another one, she would leave me.
I think we've heard enough. I think we're fine.
I'm going to leave us with a song called Bop by JoJo, guys. Let's all just dance today. Come on. Imagine your little glitter station. The claw machine.
Oh, God.
Kill myself.
Shimmy like you need it like all of the time. Gotta meet you in the middle of the conga line. And I follow your lead if you follow mine. So come on, get up, get ready to go.
I'm not gonna lie, that's a bop.
It's practically a miracle that they've been together for 35 years this year, you guys. One of the best-selling punk rock bands of all time. We are pleased to welcome Dr. Dexter Holland to the studio and the next president of the United States, Noodles, you guys.
Right.
Noodles is here as well.
Thank you.
Is this considered officially a campaign stop, Noodles, or have you not officially announced
first,
yet?
Yeah, on my Whistle Stop tour, this is the first stop, yeah.
You this is where you get out and shake hands, kiss babies, and just kind of take the mood of the nation?
Absolutely, yeah. Shake babies, yeah.
I don't think that's it. Kiss hands,
shake babies.
No,
you're already dropped
that's
down.
A bad idea.
Yeah.
So are you at home and you're watching the world burn and you're thinking, I could do better than this dude. I'm just going to go for it.
I don't cheat on my wife. I don't cheat on my taxes, and I don't cheat at golf. I don't know if that makes me more qualified or less qualified. I guess it depends on your point of view.
Yeah. Now, let's ask the man who knows you best, Dexter. Would you vote for Noodles if he ran for it?
Absolutely.
He'd be a good president.
I think so. Well, actually, I don't. He might be too honest to be a good president.
Totally.
Too good of a dude.
Yeah. Too nice.
Too nice.
I mentioned the 35 years thing. When you saw the news that Mick Jagger was getting a heart valve replacement this week at 75 and temporarily putting his band's tour on hold for this summer, did you think, could I do that? Could you guys possibly do what you're doing at 75 years old?
I don't know. You know, the Stones give us all hope, I think, for sure. Mm-hmm. What we've done the last couple of nights is acoustic gigs. Well, Saturday and Sunday night we did acoustic gigs. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting when you do the acoustic gigs.
You're going, you're going the Muddy Waters route, basically.
Nice. Yeah. So maybe we could. I think we could do that in our 70s and 80s. You know,
well, that's all about kind of trying to take it to a different level and reinventing and doing stuff and keeping it fun and interesting for ourselves.
Well, we get to go out and play for a living, so I think that does kind of keep us young.
Yeah. How long have you, forgive me for not knowing this, but this acoustic tour that you're doing right now, is this the first time you've done something like this?
Yeah.
Really?
Those were the first two shows, yes. Saturday night in Santa Cruz is the first acoustic gig we've
ever
done.
And the next one is sold out, but it's going to be just Thursday night at the Majestic Venture Theater. And that one's already, the tickets are all gone. Was it tough to, did you kind of have to reinvent the songs, strip them down, and kind of work up new arrangements for them?
You do. You really do on most of them. It's kind of funny to take a punk rock song and do it just a straight acoustic, you know, but you can't do a whole set of that. So you have to rework some of the songs.
Deconstruct it a little bit.
Did you find that there were songs that you don't normally play that really lent themselves to being acoustic?
For sure.
Do you guys like cover Nelson or anything?
Oh,
or extreme, more than words.
We really
more
dropped
than words.
More than words.
Yeah. Yeah, that's too hard to play.
Yeah.
You got to be really good at guitar.
Yeah, they were great.
I think we do a couple of covers, and I think The Chain, Fleetwood Mac's The Chain, is probably our most ambitious cover.
Are you serious right now?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I'm so into this.
Yeah, it actually works pretty well.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a great song.
Yeah, it is.
It's all over YouTube. It's going viral. It's going viral right now.
All right. Yeah. Wow, calm down.
That was fast. That was very quick.
So before we get into the this weekend, how many of these acoustic shows are you doing? I mean, you're taking this on the road?
We're just doing five for a week. You know, we do some charity events from time to time, and we did one that was like they wanted us to play for 20 minutes, and it was so much fun, and it just went off at a really little club, and we thought, let's actually try to make a whole set of this and just see what it's like. So it's an experiment, but it's been great.
It's so been cool. So fun.
What's
so
been fun. Up with your rehearsals being like 7-8 hours long?
That was a rehearsal for the acoustic thing. We've never rehearsed for more than like 4 or 5 hours, and we were just sitting down playing acoustic guitars for 8 hours.
Having a blast.
Yeah, having so much fun. Yeah.
Isn't that cool that after 35 years, you guys aren't trying to cut corners? Like, let's get in there, let's do it, let's get out of there.
Well, I think part of it is trying to do the acoustic thing, it is different. So,
right.
So it's more of a challenge. So it was something new. It wasn't, you know, just playing the songs the way we've been playing them for, you know, 25, 30 years.
Will you have a stool?
Right now?
No, I'm not.
Are you asking?
I already did this morning.
You will be sitting on a stool on stage.
Actually, yes, we do. We have stools.
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, we each have our own.
Yes. Do you guys have a bowel movement?
Well, Dexter mentioned this morning. Kudos.
Good to hear.
Excellent.
All right. So Thursday is sold out. This weekend, Saturday and Sunday, is the Sabrosa Festival at Doheny State Beach, and you guys are the headliners for the Saturday night. By the way, Sunday night. Playing with the Descendants, Black Flag, and Face to Face all on one bill. When you guys get together with a lineup like this, it must just be so fun because it's all guys you've known forever, right?
It really is, yeah. Actually, the Descendants, I'm just a huge fan of
Me
those
too.
Guys. I do know them, but I'm primarily just a fan. Every time I'm around them, I get tongue-tied and can't talk because I love them so much. So it's awesome to be able to play with these guys, you know?
How about you, Dexter? Do you consider yourself just a huge fan of these guys?
Yeah, it's like getting to play with your heroes. These bands, Descendants and Black Flag, came up a little bit before we did and stuff. So mm-hmm. they were bands that you looked up to and admired growing up. But it's just great to have this festival and be able to play with so many great bands.
Yeah, it's 2 days, and Saturday is just as fun. Flogging Molly, Bad Religion, Good Charlotte, Lagwagon, Strung Out. I mean, this is like a hit after hit fest.
Definitely.
Well, this is the third year that we've done it, and it's always been one day, but it's been growing every year. So this year, we decided to make it 2 days.
And that venue, I mean, is there anywhere better than Doheny State Beach?
It's great.
It's perfect.
You guys should do a show there.
I mean, okay. Let's do it.
Good idea.
Pass it along to your management.
They don't listen to us. We're trying to get Limp Bizkit to play the Weenie Roast, and they're not having any of it.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be awesome?
Wouldn't it, Noodles?
Wouldn't it, Noodles?
I think it'd be great. Yeah, you know, we've done some festivals with them in Europe, and they're legit. I mean, they put on a great show. Yeah. Fred is a funny guy.
Now you may have overdone it. You may have overdone it.
Nope,
but hashtag biscuit for weenie. Yeah.
Biscuit for weenie.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding, guys, when I tell you that we brought this up to management and they rolled their eyes at us and we're like, look, they played to 10,000 people at the OC Fairgrounds the other night and they killed it.
Yeah, people were losing their
and
minds.
And I'm telling you, I think
heard
people,
the recap. The
People are ready for a little rolling again, I think, right?
Yeah. People want it my way.
Okay.
Or the highway.
Boom. I like breaking stuff. So.
See?
I don't like any of this.
All right. The Offspring is among the great bands playing the Sabroso Festival, Doheny State Beach. It's coming up this weekend. Tickets available at SabrosoTacoFest.com. That's because it's also a big taco festival and a craft beer festival. SabrosoTacoFest.com. Tickets are on sale now to see the show. Quick break, more with Dexter and the next president of the United States, our friend Noodles, right after this on K-Rock. Our friends Dexter Holland and Noodles from The Offspring in studio with us now on The Kevin and Bean Show. The Offspring acoustic show is going to be this Thursday night at the Majestic Ventura Theater. That one is sold out, but you can see them
in full effect, right, with the electric band on Saturday night, right?
Sunday night.
Sunday night. I keep saying that. This poster's killing me.
I'm sorry. You're a big Flogging Molly fan. So,
who is it? They're
headlining. I know. And they're a great band and put on a great live show. So go both days for sure. Because they're headlining Saturday night.
Sabroso Festival at Doheny State Beach. Tickets on sale now. SabrosoTacoFest.com. You know, we kind of keep up with Noodles a little bit because he's so active on our social media. And we always appreciate that. But what smart guy stuff have you been up to lately, Dexter? I mean, we know what Dummy's been doing. I want to know what Smart Guy's been doing.
Right. Oh, you know, writing songs, getting some music together.
Oh, so you've actually been paying attention to the band now and not curing cancer.
I was tied up with homework there for a few years. Yeah,
yes, you were.
I went back to school. That's done, and I still do it part-time. But, yeah, we're kind of really focusing on the band now.
Yeah, you know, every report that comes out, I saw 98%, and then I saw 99% is the completion of the new album. Is there anything you want to tell us about it?
It really is almost done. We're finishing up the last song right now. So whatever percent that means.
Okay.
99.9? I'll take 99.9.
I think
it's been 7 years since the last album. Is that right?
It's, yeah.
You know, time is really just a construct.
Can you
what
give
is
us
time?
Any...
Time is what is time.
What is time? Yeah. Any idea of what the sound is going to be? Is it the Offspring sound that we all know and love? Or are you diverging a little bit?
We always do something out of left field on every record. Right. But, yeah, for the most part, it's a pretty straightforward Offspring record. We had a lot of songs that were kind of different. And we thought, maybe we should kind of get back to basics here.
Okay.
That's right. Sounds like our old stuff.
That's right.
That's what you're supposed to say, right?
Yeah. That's what the fans
like
are clamoring
stuff.
For.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Most importantly, can we talk about the tacos at the Sabroso Fest? Do you guys
absolutely.
Because that's what I'm going for.
Yeah.
Have you eaten a lot of tacos at the Sabroso Fest in the past?
I've eaten tacos.
You've sampled.
You can't eat a lot when you're going to go jump around on stage.
Oh, like
so
the,
you have you know
back
I,
to the stool.
I can eat a lot of tacos, but that's a day off kind of activity.
Yeah,
you know,
because you take it seriously.
Well. So
why do you ask, Jensen? What in particular about these tacos?
Because if they're going to have a taco fest, I'm going for it. I'm not. Yeah. I mean, I clearly like the bands, but I'm saying like I'm not going to go to a taco fest and not partake.
No, it's good. Yeah, the carne asada. There's usually a bunch of different kinds.
Yeah, booths and vendors. Yeah,
yeah,
a ton.
So, God bless this place.
It's so good.
Go Saturday or Sunday, but mostly Sunday because they're playing.
Yeah,
but the tacos are there both days.
That's
tacos
right.
Are there both days. Yeah,
and beer.
And is Kobayashi going to be there? Right.
That's
Kobayashi's
right.
He's going to be there.
The champion. Who
yeah,
eats tacos.
The food
we
eater.
Have a taco eating contest every year with Kobayashi.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my gosh,
yeah, she's our good friend.
You thought I was aimlessly asking about tacos, and now we found out the real headliner.
And we also have luchadors there, the Lucha Libre Wrestling. I hung out with Ramses the other day doing some promo for this.
I saw your picture. It was awesome.
Yeah, oh, he's amazing. Ramses is amazing. Real deal. So
I had no idea that luchadors and Kobayashi were going to be there.
Yeah.
That's incredible. How did you, Dexter, you said he's a friend of yours. How did that happen?
That's right. You know, we were in Japan, and we invited him to a show, and he saw my hot sauce backstage, and I said, can you drink this? And so he guzzled the whole bottle, and he said, I think I could drink like 10 of these. And,
oh, wow. Yeah.
And that was it. We were off to the races. And we want to put together a taco contest. He eats some crazy amount every year, like 150 tacos or something, and it's just really fun to watch.
I love that if you're just waking up, you heard Dexter say, he saw my hot sauce backstage. What are they even saying? What's happening? What goes on?
That's right.
That's amazing. Was there any thought in not putting out an album because of how much the music industry has changed these days? And there are a lot of artists who just don't bother with that anymore, feeling like it's kind of antiquated a little bit.
That's right. It would have only been like 5 years if we had done that.
Yeah.
You know, people just drop songs whenever and they feel like it doesn't have to be a cohesive package anymore like it used to be just because, you know, we live and die by whatever people want to stream.
Yeah, we're kind of dinosaurs in that we still think of making music as making records. You got to make a whole record. You know, so we do think along those lines. But we enjoy making music. We have our own studio down in Huntington Beach and we love getting in there and making music. That's the other side of the coin. Going out and playing live is one side of the coin, and then trying to create new music is the other.
Have you ever had a writer's block? Ever had a problem coming up with a new Offspring song?
I have it all the time. But fortunately, Dexter writes all the songs. So.
Dexter, has that well ever run dry for you?
I think so. you know, the further you go, the more you feel like, well, how do I do something that's sounds like us but isn't exactly the same as something that we already did? So that can be a challenge sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Plus, has there...
I was going to say, plus you got all that smart guy stuff in your head. You got to dumb it down.
I don't know how you do that.
See, I don't have that trouble.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I go hang out with Noodles for a while.
And he straightens it out.
I mean, how much difference...
Every time he hangs out with me, his IQ drops about 10 points for a week or so.
Oh,
you know?
10.
How much different are those hats for you, Dexter?
10, yeah, right. I'm being generous. I'm giving myself a break.
Dexter, how much different are those hats for you? Like, is it completely different worlds?
It seems like it would be. I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of things that I enjoy doing, and music, of course, is probably the one that I like the most, but I like mixing it up, and I think maybe getting out of that head is kind of good for you when you come back to it to try to be creative and write.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
It must make either one seem fresh when you've been away from her for a while.
Totally.
Are you still flying?
Yes, actually. I like it.
What's the furthest, what's the furthest you can go with your plane?
About halfway across the country in a stop.
Wow.
I thought you were going to say Catalina.
Oh.
You have like a real plane.
Yeah. I've got a small jet called a Citation. And
he did take it around the world once.
I did? Yeah. I did. I wasn't going to say anything.
I know.
Who are you, Dexter? Right? Seriously.
He's soloed. Dexter, that's cool, though. He soloed his jet around the world. And you can only do it like 3.5 hours at a time, right? 4 hours at a time.
I could do like a continent a day. So it took me 10 days. Yeah. But yeah, I flew solo around the world like 10 years ago.
Dexter, I'm trying to figure out how to get my dog to London. Is that something? I should have asked you this off the air. Is that something you could help me with?
Ask Johnny Depp about that, right?
Yeah right.
You might want to go through the proper channels.
Yeah. I mean, would we have to stop in Iceland? Like, if I met you in New York and my wife and my dog and I jumped on board, would we have to stop or could we make it all the way to England?
Yeah, no, you'd have to stop. We would make a stop in Greenland and then a stop in Iceland and then we'd be over there. But, yeah, you know, I can help you move. You can pack up the plane, put some boxes in the back.
Dexter, mm-hmm. That's right. Remember, like I was going to take... but I feel like you totally would. You're just that kind of a guy.
Yeah.
Oh,
sounds
I'll
like
do
fun.
It.
Yeah.
It won't happen, though. Bean was supposed to come with me in my camper from Seattle to New Orleans.
That's right.
And that didn't happen. Yeah.
You did offer. You did offer. Yeah. All right. You're going to be getting a text from me, Dexter. I'm sorry to say you're on the hook now. You are actually flying me to England. So congratulations on that.
This is a reality show waiting to happen.
Yeah.
I'm so happy right now. The acoustic show is sold out at the Majestic Ventura Theater this Thursday night, but this weekend tickets still available. They are headlining Sunday night. It is a great weekend of rock music, including Flogging Molly and Bad Religion and Good Charlotte and the Suicide Machines and Descendants and Black Flag and Face to Face and even more. Plus, as Jensen mentioned, tacos.
Yeah.
Plus, you got the craft beer. SabrosoTacoFest.com. Tickets are on sale now. We love you guys, and it's great that you came in. And last question, I guess, is going to be this 99.9% album that's finished. When do you expect we might hear the first of the new music from The Offspring?
Noodles doesn't want to say because we keep on pushing it back.
I've been wrong on this every
this summer,
time.
Maybe?
I'm calling it this summer.
Oh, this summer.
Okay. Yes.
New Offspring. Thanks. Hey, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And ho, too, while we're at it. Remember the Offspring times, you guys?
Yes. I do.
They're so sweet.
Some things we talked about. Flying around the world, mm-hmm. taco eating contests,
yeah.
Being a scientist.
Yes.
I mean, that's quite a wide range.
And what they
running
didn't
for president.
Hear,
running for president.
What they didn't hear was Noodles apologizing for being late. He said that his mother had called right before he was getting in the car.
Yeah, weird timing.
And she had just caught on fire.
Yeah.
So,
which was, now you take back,
now I
telling
take it
me
back.
That
yeah.
it was a bad example, because I said that could have been what happened.
Great
and
example,
was.
And it was what happened.
Thank you, and I hope she's going to be okay.
She won't, she won't, but it's fine.
A pair of sold-out three-day passes to weekend one of Coachella, sure, why not? Plus exclusive access to the K-Rock Coachella house. We got all that for you coming up in less than 5 minutes from right now on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, here's Ally McKay's What's Happening to Get Us There.
Well, we found out on Saturday that the Rolling Stones were doing a postponement of their tour for their U.S. and Canadian dates. And they weren't really clear on what was happening, but they said that Mick had been advised that he needs medical treatment. And, of course, everyone started speculating. They had to cancel their headlining gig at the New Orleans Jazz Festival. But it looks like that the rest of the tour is being rescheduled for July, because now we find out that Mick Jagger is set to have a stent replaced in his heart or not replaced, placed in his heart following that postponement announcement. So the procedure will reportedly take place in New York City this week. And he, again, dude is 75 years old.
That's crazy.
He runs from the beginning of the show to the end of the show.
I have a hard time running.
Oh, 100%.
39.
Yeah.
And he's also singing while he's doing it, too, by the way.
Dancing.
And dancing while he's doing it. And here's your Mick Jagger fun fact for you. He has a baby that is older. No. He has a baby that is younger than some of his great-grandchildren.
Oh, I thought you were going to say girlfriends.
A baby that is younger than some of his great-grandchildren.
Mr. Know-It-All.
What I'm saying is Mick Jagger's parts are working. That's what I'm saying.
Wow. Okay. He's in, obviously, extraordinary physical condition. But according to this source, they said, you can be back at work within weeks following the procedure. But it could be because of, you know, health checks that are all set for the insurance of the tour. That's why they're being careful by postponing until July. But also because he's 75 and having a stent placed in his heart.
Yes.
Let him rest for a bit, people.
Yeah. He doesn't need the money.
No.
No.
But
I don't
know. You know it's going to kill him, though. He's just going to be sitting there going, come on!
Yeah, playing Nintendo Switch or whatever he does with the time off.
Wonder what the motivation is for bands like the Stones to keep going out on the road and playing these tours. Because like you said, they're all multimillionaires many, many times over.
Right.
And their drummer, Charlie Watts, is close to 80.
Wow.
Like, what makes them do it?
It is a good question. I would be excited to stop touring if I were them, but that is not the case in most bands' histories. Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, get away from the family for a bit. Am I right, dudes? What? No? Don't you think that's why a lot of bands go on tour? They're like, I gotta get away from the family.
I mean, we just mentioned Mick Jagger has an infant at home, so maybe.
I mean, right? Beat it,
like,
kid.
He's like, I'm too old for this.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Keep going. What else would he say?
That's all I'm saying.
What else would he say about the kid?
I don't need to spend time with this kid. I'm a great grandfather.
He sounds like the Count. It's
the Count meets Ringo. It is so bad.
I gotta stop doing that.
No, you don't ever. Oh, it is the greatest. Bean and Jensen, you guys play team sports growing up?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, we both played the league, right, Bean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a recent study by neurologists at Washington University found that participating in team sports in childhood can improve your brain structure. And that may also lead to fewer instances of depression in boys as young as 9. That's pretty interesting, right?
I feel like there's a ton of great things that come to people who get into team sports early.
Right.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you learn about camaraderie, and you learn about teammanship, and you learn about sportsmanship.
It's something to look forward to all the time and competitive,
You make friends,
Yeah, you have a structure, a set structure.
Practice,
Yeah, absolutely. So get your kids into some sports.
Yeah, Danielle and I have been talking about it and excited about our upcoming son, about Little League and Pop, not Pop Warner, because who wants your kid to play football, but basketball and stuff. And we're nervous that kids just play Fortnite.
Right.
Like, it's so nerve and scary that they don't even really, like, that's sports now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, when we went and did something with the Lakers, they introduced us to their E-team.
Wow.
Right.
They have a team. The Lakers have a team of just guys who play NBA 2K for a living for the team.
And when your son goes to school, there won't be PE like there was for us. It doesn't exist at most schools anymore.
Yeah.
So, PE
doesn't
world.
Exist anymore?
Not like it used to, no.
Not in most schools,
No way.
Yeah, it's like the first thing they cut.
Yep.
Well, usually it's like music.
Well, that's already been gone for a decade.
Arts. Those are all gone.
Okay. Yeah. No, we're in a dystopian era.
I don't like any of this.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But yeah, I'm going to push my kid towards sports, just like a Venus Williams dad.
For sure.
I'd be like, get
out
there.
Sport would you like your child to excel at the most?
Well, if we're not tall. I'm like 5'9". But boy, would it be great if I could have a meal ticket basketball player.
See, I think you got to go baseball.
You got to go baseball for the much longer career.
Right,
much longer career, and they don't necessarily have to be in great shape.
True.
Right?
They can have a gut.
They're barely athletes.
Yeah.
Barely athletes.
Smoke in between innings.
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe I'll look into baseball.
Yeah, I almost had a kid just to have him play baseball.
Sure.
Hope that mama got paid later.
Sure.
And then I remembered you have to, like, change him and stuff. And I was like, that's gross.
Right, that part you don't want to do.
No one wants
maybe
that.
Maybe just adopt a Major League Baseball player.
Oh, I've tried that. Oh, okay. I've tried that too. Yeah, there's restrictions, mostly like restraining orders, but that's a whole other topic.
Even Stanley likes that.
Oh.
What? Who's Stanley? Why do we keep talking about Stanley?
Not sure.
It's odd. You guys want to talk some birthdays?
Sure.
Michael Fassbender, Jesse Plemons, Clark Gregg, Christopher Maloney, Adam Rodriguez, and Dr. Demento.
Love him.
When did you start listening to Dr. Demento?
Right around the time of Weird Al. Like when I was five or six, I got real into Weird Al, found out his main inspiration, and the guy who found him was Dr. Demento, and so I started to get those records as well.
How about you, Bean?
It was when I moved back to America when I was 15. I found him on the local station where I lived, and I just couldn't believe it was real. And it was so great. I guess he just does it internet only now, but he's still out there doing it.
Yeah.
I never knew it was from the Dr. Demento show until I posted about it, but my dad would play this tape of a farting contest where you would rub your butt against the fart pole, and then a guy would do like the play-by-play of the farting.
Great.
And it turns out that it was from Dr. Demento would play it, but it's these British guys that are having a farting contest, and I'm telling you right now, it is some of the funniest thing you will ever hear. And as a little kid, to see tears just streaming down your father's face because he loves farts.
Great.
It's a little look into my life, everybody.
Classic
You're
broadcasting.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Cynthia Garcia from Montebello. She won her 2 3-day passes to weekend one of Coachella at the Empire Polo Grounds, April 12th through the 14th, and access to the K-Rock Coachella House, which is going to be amazing, by the way, with 1975 stopping by and Dylan Francis and Billie Eilish and so much more. We've got that for you all day long today here on K-Rock. Again, at noon and then 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. And you can go to K-Rock.com for another chance to win as well. Allie, you ready to take us home?
I am.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about April Fools. Mm-hmm. We discussed earlier how maybe a couple of us on the show got caught up in a little prank, and it ruined our day, quite frankly. Ruined mine. I was terrified that I had somehow posted something naked on my stories. Nope, just my loser friend Cassie sending me something awful. Go back and listen to it on the podcast.
My disappointment is immeasurable.
Yeah.
And my day is ruined.
It truly was. Well, a lot of people's days were ruined that fell for these different stunts. Justin Bieber sharing an ultrasound photo on Instagram without a caption, which of course caused many of his fans to assume, oh, he and Hailey Baldwin are expecting their first child. But then people started remembering, oh, wait, it's April 1st. Of course not. So then Justin Bieber shared a set of photos that showed Hailey Baldwin with medical professionals touching her stomach area. And wrote, if you thought it was April Fool's, so is she pregnant, you guys? No, turns out he just used a ultrasound photo that a very astute fan realized. If you just Google ultrasound, that's the picture that comes up in the Wikipedia entry for sonogram.
It was also a full-grown baby.
Yeah, it definitely, she was definitely pregnant probably about 8 months for sure.
Guys, I don't know Justin Bieber, but I feel like he's not ready to be a father yet. I'm glad this turned out to just be a hoax, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay.
All right. I mean, it just seems like he's got his own issues that he's working through right now, and maybe spend some time on that and not on having a baby.
It does seem like that has been his focus. He's walking away from music for a bit.
Yeah.
Robert.
No, Robert. Just Justin. And Jennifer Garner hopped on Instagram yesterday to reveal that she had written a book, a memoir, titled Bless Your Heart. And she thanked all her family and friends. She said the whole process has been humbling and illuminating, taking me deep into places I didn't even know I could go. Well, she was lying.
I don't even get this one.
Bless Your Heart isn't even a book. It's not real.
So her April Fool's is I'm coming out with a book?
Yeah.
So stupid.
But not quite as stupid as Tom Brady's. Tom Brady, of course, how old is he? 50? 50-year-old quarterback for the Patriots?
Yeah, mid-50s.
He shared his first tweet writing, I'm retiring. In my spare time, I'll be tweeting.
Good one,
that's
dog.
That's not even well. If you're going to do it and try to make it realistic, you go, after a lot of soul searching this offseason, Giselle and I have decided it's time to spend more time with the family and enjoy ourselves. And thanks to the Patriots for all the. I mean, you make it look realistic.
Yeah. Or, yeah, even set up the Players Tribune or whatever where everyone always retires.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, come on. Think about marketing, Tom.
Well, Redbox announced a spoof service that would utilize drones to fly kiosks to customers' doorsteps. So if you wanted a movie, you could just get it via drone, which I don't know how far off they are from that. I feel like that could be something we could have.
Why would you need to get a DVD delivered via drone when you could just get it on
when
your
you
phone?
Could just buy it and not open it? Oh, is that I thought you were going to say that?
No, when no. you could just stream
kind of
it is what I'm saying.
That.
Oh, sorry.
What's the point? It should have a point or something.
I guess right. the whole point of bringing these up is either we need really good April Fool's Day pranks or mm-hmm. we should just outlaw them. Right? Just a right. new law that passed. If you try and prank someone, you will be killed.
Well, we did talk about it yesterday that it's so difficult now to determine what's fake and what's real in the news. We don't need anyone intentionally adding to the fake news.
Correct.
That is
unless
true.
It's about the Mall of America West, which, by the way, is awesome and you ought to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
A lot of stores.
Yeah.
A lot of stores.
The cheese store, Cheeses of Nazareth, is one of my favorite. I mean, it's a great store.
Is that real?
Cheeses of Nazareth, yeah.
I'd eat all the cheese there. I'd be really sick, but I'd do it just for the name. It's fantastic. Did you see the latest in the Wendy Williams saga?
No, I did not.
Oh, this is just a mess. So we found out that she has been living in a sober home. And then there were reports that she had left work one day and wound up getting very drunk. They found her, brought her back to the sober living home. And reports were that her husband, Kevin Hunter, and his mistress of 10 years had just welcomed a baby. So people were thinking, oh, how does she get out of this situation? Well, now Wendy Williams and her husband, Kevin Hunter, are taking steps to separate after 22 years of marriage. Here's where it gets super complex. He's her manager. He also is partners with her at Wendy Williams Productions. Basically, he owns half of everything she does, essentially.
Yeah, since the radio days.
Yeah, they're so just completely tangled up in each other's business that I'm sure if the problems that have been rumored for so long between the two of them, if any of those are true, I mean, that's probably why it's been so difficult for her just to pull away from him. But really bad situation.
Do you guys think she's coming back to her show?
She's been back.
Yeah, I think she came back, right?
Yeah, she's been back.
Doesn't sound like a good idea.
Yeah, you weren't here, Bean. No. Yeah. She came back from her show, and remember, it was that she had Graves' disease, and she had a problem with her shoulder. That's why she was taking time off.
Yeah, when I left, it was she's gone indefinitely.
Nope, she came back, and she announced on the show, she said, I need to be up front with you guys. I have been living at a sober living house, and she didn't say what she was in the sober living house before, but she had alluded to her past problems with cocaine and all of that. But the story was that she would literally be picked up right after work by a sober living coach. That coach would drive her to meetings and then drive with her back to the sober living house. So she was doing everything right, all the right steps, mm-hmm. until whatever happened that one day where she heard that her husband had just had a baby and she wound up falling off the wagon. And the thing with that story was, like, this is how insane of a trooper this woman is. She was found drunk, brought to the hospital, put on IVs, and showed up to work the next day.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so...
Wow, that's trouble.
That's trouble. That's a lot of years of being a functioning addict that we're just catching up with her.
Okay, well, fingers crossed. Good luck.
Absolutely. You guys, some birthdays for you. Christopher Maloney, Adam Rodriguez, Michael Fassbender, Jesse Plemons, Clark Gregg, and I believe someone that might play a big part in tomorrow's show. Dr. Demento, you guys.
Yeah.
Right?
He's a man.
He is the man. Let me say this first, and then we'll explain. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win with a commercial-free drive home with our friend Stryker at 5 p.m. today. Dr. Demento, we were talking about earlier, we were all fans of the show, all used to listen to it. Many of our listeners grew up listening to it on KMET and then on KLOS for a long, long time. It's not on the radio anymore, but I think he is still doing a version of it online. Mm-hmm. But he introduced so many classic comedy songs that we never otherwise would have heard of.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, things like Fish Heads, huge K-Rock song back in the day. It was a Dr. Demento fight, exactly. All of Weird Al's early stuff, My Bologna and stuff like that, got played first on the Dr. Demento show. Mm-hmm. And Allie, you said your favorite thing as a kid was something you used to hear on the Good Doctor show.
Well, my father had a tape of, I assume that's where he heard it, was Dr. Demento, of a farting contest between Paul Boomer versus Lord Windesmere. And it's a blow-by-blow, all-out winner takes the farting contest title, and they would like rub their butt against like a farting pole to get their like farts activated.
Okay.
And they described all these different farts that to a child, nothing was funnier. And nothing was funnier than seeing my dad just tears streaming down his face because, my God, fart humor.
And you haven't heard it since.
I haven't.
So we don't know if this holds up.
That's my question.
It'll hold up.
If you were eight and you were laughing hysterically at fart comedy, I get it. If you hear it today, though, do you think it's still funny?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
For sure.
We're going to revisit it. I've never heard it, so we're going to revisit it on tomorrow's show.
And that involves how much research by you?
Well, it's a 15-minute piece, so I'm going to have to cut that way down. Also on the program tomorrow, Jensen, you're going to introduce us to Beer Mug's new hero. He walks into a Taco Bell and he does what?
He orders every single thing on the menu and then eats it.
In one sitting.
He's the world's strongest man as well, in one sitting, yeah.
Wow. Does Taco Bell have a huge menu?
Yeah, he spent like $150 or something, $200.
Okay.
Yeah, one of everything. Yeah.
Also, there have been several stories in the news lately. One, by coincidence, happens to involve a Mexican restaurant. A guy was seen on video, went viral this week. Maybe you saw it. He's furious how much of the menu in a Mexican restaurant is in Spanish, because this is America, damn it. Speak English. Not understanding, I don't think that taco and burrito and enchilada are all Spanish words. Then there was another story that happened just yesterday in San Jose of a woman just furious screaming at somebody at a gas station who is having a conversation with her friend in Spanish, which was her native tongue. Mm-hmm. This is getting crazy with these people who are going off on people because they're speaking Spanish.
Yeah, and I may have seen one yesterday as well. And
really?
And I've been questioning whether I should have done something. I don't know.
So we're going to talk about that. I know it's a potentially touchy issue, but we're going to talk about that. And I bet in Southern California it happens every single day where people give you the stink eye because you're speaking Spanish.
Yep.
And it's got to stop.
Yeah, unless it's a cell phone that goes viral, we don't even know it exists, and I'm sure it happens way more than we think.
Also, we continue to give you Coachella tickets on the program tomorrow and access to the K-Rock House. And another quick reminder, if you've not yet picked up your tickets for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness, you need to do that. They are on sale now. The show is on the 26th, Friday, the 26th of April. It's a great lineup with benefiting great charities, and you can get your tickets at AXS.com. Have a great day.